John as a special counsel or something on a one-year retainer. So it'll just be starting from the time you leave here till a year from that time. It'll cover an awful lot of things, including maintaining our security clearance, access to files, accessibility to you for whatever you want. But with total separation,
when would you do this? Start when?
Start as soon as we leave here, which is next week, I guess. Or we can leave a hiatus and start July 1 or something, you know, if we want to.
I think the only problem I see is what the
Thank you.
thing here is, I'm not at all sure that the hearings are that bad anyway. They're sure they're going to have to cover all the facts of the Watergate crime. Everybody knows all that anyway. That's not going to be very interesting. And when some of us get on, I think we can be
a very effective. That's right. In fact, it may be better, more effective, better than the courtroom.
Well, I don't think there's any question. Because you have much more freedom in the courtroom, you've got to stick to just the evidence. Where here, you can get much more self-serving.
Everybody's been following you. Everybody looks good. Showing why you're good. I was really trying to think whether you were right about the Oregon 65 thing or not, but I think it's best to float it in there. Rather, I'm saying, my judgment may not be as good as yours, but you see, I think it's one thing people worry about something.
All right, I'll do
it. If you find a way to cross it or something. Let me ask, say one other thing on that September 15th conversation that we had. It was occurred to me that you must have made notes on it.
I want to go over this. That's one of the things I'm in here for. I don't recall any. See, I've checked. See, when I went through my file, and this is there's something strange about this. As I went through the file, I went through your, I have a copy of your log, the schedule log. And in that, I went through it, and I didn't see that. But there were several weeks missing from that log, and I asked them to put those back in. And they're now back in, and Dean is on there. But I don't know that that's the week that was missing, but I don't know that it wasn't. And I looked damn carefully. I went through it three times, looking for all the Dean meetings. Now, another fact. When this was blowing up in the mid-April period, when you had John meet over at the office, and then when you had Dean in for, to maybe resign and that sort of stuff, during that period, Dean asked the staff secretary's office for a log of the times he met with the president, the dates that he met with the president. And under their practice, an individual is entitled to that information, a senior staff member. If he asks the file for a record of his meetings with the president, he can get it. He can't get anybody else's.
Oh.
He asked for it, and he got a memo from this guy Hoops, who handles that record, that lists his meetings with the president. And it shows the August 14th meeting, and then it doesn't show another meeting until February of 73. And I find that very curious. In other words, Hoops, or the archivist in searching, did not find a meeting on September 15th. Why? I don't know why. But there's something funny there.
Is it possible they saw you and not me?
Possible, but he doesn't show up in my log either. I don't think I've got a check for my log over there, but I went through my log, too. Now, I don't keep a log myself, but my secretary kept a record of who went in and out of my office.
And, well, it's interesting because I don't recall a goddamn conversation. I don't even mean it either. I don't recall it. I have a couple of funny little things this morning.
Dean has no evidence, from both the Senate and the investigators, the Dean has no evidence that ties the president into either the Watergate or the cover-up.
I wonder if that's just...
They also have a thing from them saying that in Dean's safe deposit, they know what's in Dean's safe deposit box, that it's some national security documents, they know what they are and they're not. Prosecutor, someone in the prosecutor's office. And Hirsch is Seymour Hirsch, and he's got a pretty good line into there. He's been accurate on everything he's learned. I think what they are is something related to the Hunt business or something that was a bombshell at one point, but that bomb's gone off now.
Well, the more I reflected on our conversation last night on the whole damn March University problem, Dean fires, we will have to just say that earlier history. would say, we would say that about how this discussion, you came into the discussion.
Well, I would say that I came in the middle of the discussion that you had, and I knew you were doing this, had scheduled the day before this meeting with Dean, with the orders of the entity is to give you a full account of everything related to Watergate, because it was becoming clear with McCord and stuff and all that Dean had more information than you had been given. And Dean indicated that to you also, apparently, in these earlier meetings you've been having with him and with Moore, as you were trying to look into how we could get this cleared up and a public statement made on it. So you said, look, I want the whole facts. So he came in to give you the whole facts, and he went through a recitation of how he constructed the things that have taken place, apparently, and as to what he thought the jeopardies were of the various people involved, including people in the White House. And then he indicated he thought there were some jeopardies, potential jeopardies, in circumstantial linkage in terms of the 350 that I had dealt with.
Was that mentioned?
I think so, yeah. And the other stuff. And then he indicated to you that there had been some blackmail incidents, or what he regarded as blackmail incidents involved in this. And that one of those was as an example, listening to Muntz, where he had made this direct threat against Ehrlichman, that he was going to reveal what he had done for Ehrlichman if he wasn't given a payment. And
$100,000.
That's right. And that's in my stuff. I'm going to say that anyway. If I'm asked, you know, in that area.
You are?
Yeah, but the grand jury is going to say that. That I had heard about this threat. And I'm going to say that it was discussed with you because I don't discuss what was discussed with you. But that you then were very much, this was a totally new area to you, and were very surprised about this and very much interested in the...
That's where we could say the president came out of his chair.
This whole question of, you know, what was going on here. And you probed quite deeply into this with Dean. And you, as you did in other areas, this wasn't the only one, this was an area that you probed deeply into. And trying to draw out of him, and he was reluctant to put it out. You weren't getting a full thing right at the outset from him. You kept saying, but what do? How do you know, raising money's no problem. So, you know, you can't talk about that's a big problem. We can raise money. But I don't understand what you mean by how do you get it to him? All that. Are you talking about the Cuban Committee and all this sort of thing? You were asking a lot of leading questions designed to draw Dean out, because it was apparent that Dean was sort of treading a thin line in how he was talking with you in that meeting. You had told him to give you all the facts. He was not giving you all the facts. He was giving you a selective view of the facts, and you were pushing to get more information. And you asked about how they did these, what they did, who. Then you were trying to find out who else was involved. And he volunteered at some point, as you were probing in this, that he had been in communication with Mitchell about it.
Right.
Which you also found very interesting. You wanted to see what was involved there. And there was some discussion of his conversation with Mitchell.
I wouldn't mention patents.
I won't.
Yeah.
And in regard to all this. And that as you go into this, it becomes very clear. And then as you look at subsequent days, you know, it confirms that quickness, correctly. That the president was realizing here that there was a problem within the White House, where he had been assured from up to that point that there wasn't. And that the problem at that point had to focus because he only got to do anything in the White House was on Dean. And that you were probing Dean hard to find out what was happening. And the upshot of that was you said to Dean, and that's why I think you called me into the meeting. You said to Dean, I want you to have a meeting with Mitchell and Ehrlichman and all of them. See, at this point, you didn't know what Mitchell's involvement was in this.
No.
And neither did Dean.
Is that what I said in that message?
You said, I want the four of you to meet, and I want Dean to give Mitchell and Ehrlichman and all of them the same total facts that he's given me.
Well, did I say that?
Yeah. And you were still suspicious, I think, of what we were getting. I think you wanted to smoke out where Dean fit and where everybody else fit as a result of that. So you had us meet with the next day.
That's when, and he did give you those facts?
He gave us some, yeah. He didn't go into as much detail with us as he had with you, though. And then we talked about what do we do about this, and how do we get this out? And does he go to the grand jury, or do we do other things?
Does
And this has been discussed earlier, the thought of Dean going to the grand jury and then Dean started at that point raising the point that he could go with immunity. And that if he were given immunity and went to the grand jury, nobody else would be involved because nobody else in the White House was involved. And in fact, did he say that? Yes. But he said he was. And that he, therefore, had a problem. So if he could be given, his neat little plan at that point was, won't hurt anybody else. If I go in and tell the truth and given immunity, then I'm safe. And it doesn't hurt anybody in the White House because they're all safe. He said, there's a possible problem. And he was trying to be objective, I think, about it at that point. There's a possible problem with Brookman being tied in on the Kalmbach thing and Holland being tied in on the 350. But he saw that as a circumstantial change and didn't have a linkage. And he agreed at that time that it didn't link. In other words, that Holland's interest was taking the 350 over to the committee, not in paying off the defendants. But then he changed his tune as he got up on his mountain at your instruction. And at that point, it was left that it would take him a couple days to write up a full report.
After you eventually met.
That's right.
But the point that after meeting on the 21st, the key thing is we did not tell Dean, look, go have a meeting tomorrow and raise the money for Bitcoin.
Oh, no. That was a very minor thing in this meeting. It came up a couple times in the meeting. But it was not the subject of the meeting. It was an example.
Except I had to go into it about
the money. He went into it.
$1 million. I said, well, we can get it. How are you going to get it to him? I remember that like I remember in my day.
Sure.
But that's when I said it cost $20. He said, what about clemency? I said, you can't give clemency before I said before the election. Or I should say before 74, you know, or something. I mean, the point is that
you were poking on what Dean had in mind. You didn't understand what he was talking about, sure, neither did I.
My point is that such a plan wouldn't work, and then we must critically remember the time. First, it's wrong. Second, it won't work.
That's right.
I mean, it's sort of a thing. Then I said, I want you to sit down and tell him everything, and then let's get something here to get this out,
because we can't get into it. If there's blackmail going on, that's not something we can tolerate.
Because incidentally, Dean was very hard on that. Remember, he said that is blackmail.
Yeah.
And that could be our defense.
Yeah.
And I said, well, Christ, blackmail.
Why not issue it in defense? We were
interested in the fact that it can't be in a position of defending. I mean, it's on the basis of blackmail.
But Dean had several idiotic schemes in the process of this.
I wonder if he's putting this story about he's not creating the president, it's a common prosecutor.
Could be, but see, the prosecutors have a little problem with Dean, too.
Yeah. Because they invented it.
Sure. Which is now in the grand jury record. Jack Anderson's got it.
But let me say, I'd be very interested in seeing if you're running, to run over. There's some phony looking guy. Yeah. Maybe not phony, but maybe. I don't know. Because you didn't find it. It wasn't in the law, maybe it's a Dean. Yet Dean.
Very strange. Hay went through a log and it wasn't in it, and then he went through another one and it was. I'll tell you what I think is possible is that. That it wasn't there, and then somehow Dean figured out how to get it written into the law. In other words, he got the sheet from them and found out there wasn't a meeting, decided this was a useful thing to use, and got it written back in. And this thing is so weird that I don't discount any possibility.
Well, let me say this, first check your files. You make notes of every meeting, Bob. You always sit there. You can immediately sitting in here with Dean do the make notes.
I'm sure. I would sure think so.
Can you go over and check that now?
No, because I've got to get the lawyers in between things. I can do it right after I get back from them.
Well, I'd be curious about that.
I will, and I'll give you a call. But that's what's going to
happen. It's only because I'll just give you a call. It's only for the purpose, basically, of knowing what the hell the crazy bastard's going to say.
I don't think there's any
matter with any hard line at all.
Yes, sir. special prosecutor who's worth a damn. I can't imagine that he isn't going to, the first thing he's going to do is say, for Christ's sake, turn off the Senate business to all you get on prosecution done, because you're going to sink any chance of any kind of a trial. I mean, hell, if I've been up there battling on television, how the hell can I have a fair trial? Or if he's been up there battling on television, how can I have a fair trial? There's no rules of evidence there. There's no challenge.
You can't keep the jurors from looking at television.
Of course not. Now, if you get to a point where you can never see a jury, you just challenge every jury that you watch the Senate hearings on television. Of course, a lot of most people won't watch. Well, they'll see some of it on the news. Of course, you do.
But anyway, well, you should feel good about it. Here's why because the main I need around here at this time of is, you know what I mean? It's basically a mature, strong man who knows the whole goddamn thing. Fucks me up because, you know, here is the prices are so bad in jittery. Not that they, you know, you can feel it in the house.
She puts me in a hell of a position. Okay, I'll tell Buzzard what show you this, I didn't share the pants out of you or something. He doesn't have any.
Well, he was hired or something in the 26th.
On the 26th, he does have, as I told you, he's got a minor reconstruction of the dean phone call thing. Which does have a lot of problems in it. But it's only one step in Dean's process of ironing this thing out. The point is, any one of those things, or little pieces out of any of those things, can be very harmful.
Because Dean talked there of what you talking about?
He talked about the blackmail business. And, you know, he was recapping that. He was recapping the, but not you. It was not harmful to you.
On this case. He wasn't at that point trying to get me.
What he was trying to do was build his own case to defend himself. Which involved scaring John and me enough that we would side with him. And when that didn't work, he decided to scare you into siding with him.
And he, as I said, in our little meeting last night, apart from the fact that he cleared up. It's good to have somebody just sit there and say, Sam, you know what I mean?
You've got to do that, and you've got, I don't feel you've got a problem with it, and I don't, I think Al, I'm surprised that he got quite that excited.
Well,
he's, Al's got a, I'll tell you, it's hard though, that I sat in there for 4 years, and all these little ships come running in, screaming, the sky is falling all the time, and it's hard to sit there and yourself and not react to it. Al's got to learn to do that. Now Al does, you know, he used to come in once in a while about energy problems.
But that's, I'm going to have to take more of that load myself now.
Okay, but if you do, you should take as little of it as you can. And when you, to the degree that you do take it, you cannot react to it.
When you take, for example,
Cushman said, you know, first we called it Erlich and called, then Erlich and called it back. I said, you know, when did I call you? Christian said, well, I don't know that it was you. Someone called me.
Who do you think I called?
Probably you.
Probably I'll say so. Probably has.
I think he had. Or that Hunt called himself. Hunt me. See, that's what they say is Hunt called and represented that he was working on Erlich's authority. Now that's, I'm sure it's correct.
Got the camera.
Yeah, I've got other stuff. You know, I've got disguises and all that stuff.
Erlich didn't call the CIA.
Erlich's story, as I understand it, was that Kushner called him after this had been going on and said, we've got all this going on, we can't keep on doing this. And John said, you're absolutely right, we shouldn't be.
But they returned
Kushner and then said, would you authorize it? And John said, I don't believe I did, Bob. And Christian said, well, you called me. John said, no, I don't think so. Christian said, well, somebody called me. It wasn't you. And then John said, well, I wish you'd clear that up. And Christian later, I think this is correct, Christian later wrote John a memo saying, I just to clear up any misunderstanding, I do not.
No, matter how you read it long ago.
Before all this became public.
Terrible.
sir.
Basically, your intent, you can't be accused of an illegal intent if you didn't know something was illegal.
Yes, sir.
Unless they can say your intent was, well, to shut him up. But he didn't say that's what they wanted him for.
No, sir. And it was not my intent.
No. Yeah,
it was my intent. I thought they were going to talk, and I didn't care if they
did. Well, the point was, the campaign was over.
That's right. And I had no motive to shut him up. As far as I knew, I knew nothing about the Watergate. I knew you knew nothing about the Watergate. And I was told by Dean, on whom I was relying, that nobody else in the White House knew anything about the Watergate. I knew that somebody at the committee did. Because obviously someone had to do it. I didn't know how high up it went. I had some ideas. But I wasn't privileged to discuss those ideas with somebody because I might have been wrong. And I still think I probably am wrong. I still don't think I know what really did happen there. Totally. I don't know what Dean's involvement was now, the more I see of this. All right? In all of that, what do? I turn to the lawyer and say, what is the proper thing to do? How can we get this out? My interest is the political interest, the public relations interest. The point that this is a political problem in terms of news stories that are fact stories that are coming out that are harmful. How do we deal with these? I ask the lawyer. Ziegler does the same thing. Ziegler goes out there day after day and says nobody in the White House was involved. Every time he did that, before he went out, he said to John Dean, am I correct today in saying nobody in the White House was involved? Yes, Ron, go on out and say it. That's the fact. And we believed it to be the fact. And that's something I somehow think we face these people up.
And that's something that we've got. That's why the public hearing was affected. Even, you've got to remember, even before the public hearing, Dean continues to play this game, playing it off the press.
May have to. That's right.
I don't know.
The lawyer still may have to.
Your strategy has got to be worked out.
That's right.
Just knock his goddamn brains out.
No, we're holding that as a possibility. We may decide to go on television yet and do the thing or something like that too.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's we're still looking at the range of what ought to be done.
Do you have anybody in the field that can advise you in that respect?
I think we got to use
your judgment is better than
use our own judgment plus the. We'll check in here.
Could help us calm. My guy is a special advisor down here. You know, he's around now. And I do think that he's trustworthy.
Okay.
But he's great.
Oh, yeah.
Well, sure. I mean, what I meant is, I think he's trustworthy, but I think he's also the judgment is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Sends to be explosive.
Yeah, but that's not all bad either. Well, I think you should be, though, moving with complete confidence in this. I know that's hard to do because of all this shit that hits every day. But I just start out, before I pick up the paper in the morning, and I say to myself, I don't listen to the radio because it just, you get all jangled up about all these little things. But I read the papers thoroughly. And before I start in the morning, I just say to myself, there's going to be another pile of shit in here, and, you know, don't get excited about it. Read through it, and then coolly and coldly dissect it. And I do, I underline, and I go back and work back on the facts on it each day, and I satisfy myself that it's a bunch of shit, which it is every day. And if you look at it that way, instead of doing it away garment, is a, you know, Jesus, what do we do now?
You see what the New York Times said today. Yeah. You see the editor of the day. You see the editor of yesterday.
That's right.
Screw it.
You can't worry about it. We've got to get the legal base laid, and then we've got to get the political base laid, and we've got to get the public base laid, and it can be done.
You'll laugh.
Yes, sir. I sure as hell do.
Chancellor's lying, of course, was that this is so much bigger than Teapot Dome. The son of a bitch. You think of Teapot Dome. Many hundreds of millions were stolen and all that sort of thing. And Jesus, he writes,
but this involves more people. That's the way he makes it bigger. He runs through this litany of all the people who had to resign as a result of this.
Well, of course.
And that's
right.
Yeah. But that, someday we've got to get back and make the point they had to resign, not because they had done anything wrong, but because of the ignorance.
Well, of course, they don't know about the goddamn media.
That's right.
The media is worse than
And I think we've got to admit it. We've got to say the media had a monumental victory, temporary. Okay. So they did it. One of the things they won a week in you, and they succeeded. They got some of us out that could have been helpful to you.
Well, they also wanted to destroy the media. But the main thing is all this
system is unbelievable. I can see how tempting it can be in the short haul. I look at it and say, geez, you know, the hell with it. I go down and keep the skein and fish, but no, you can't do it.
But the other thing is, the other big part of the market now, if they ever want to get up to the impeachment, fine, fine. They don't, sure. If they, they're not going to get a majority vote in the House, which they have to have. My point is, if you ever want to get to that, the president of the United States, my view is, fight it like hell.
You're damn right, and win it.
Fight it. But, and we must remember that the impeachment is not new for me.
That's right.
Certainly for some of these clowns, the Abzugs and the McCloskey and so forth, have been impeached for years. Good luck.
Okay.
Give me a ring if you find anything.
I will.
I'll check it. It's going to be all right. That's even because basically, I don't care what was said there.